Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. And the answers are mostly based upon the book, Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. I'm Hassanain, and we have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiyaqum. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Miqdad, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure. Brother Miqdad, in the previous shows, one of our listeners had written to us a question that a few months ago, my brother and his family went to Ziyarah in the Middle East, Iran and Iraq. And when they came back, their children, who are the same age as my children, had different things that were from an Islamic culture, like rings, dijasha, and different types of tasbih, etc. And my children obviously want the same. On one aspect, I understand the importance. However, living in the West, it's very much against the local culture. So I'm a bit worried about this. What do you suggest me to do? So Brother Miqdad, we were discussing about different cultures and how we can follow the different types of cultures with respect to the Islamic principles. So please, if you'd like to add any more points to it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the previous show, we talked about this relationship between culture and Islamic guidelines. And we said that Islam as such, you wouldn't say that Islam has a culture. Rather, mm-hmm. Islam gives guidelines to different cultures. And
true.
In whatever culture thing they do, Islam brings about principles and red lines and limitations or additions, basically, to ensure that the human being, through their own culture, mm-hmm. through their own language and the way they do things, are able to reach their perfection, which mm-hmm. is the servitude of Allah. And we also said that we have to be careful, though. A lot of the cultures have, because culture at the end reflects an ideology, reflects a values and principles. So we have to understand that certain ideologies, certain cultures reflect an ideology that's completely true. Against Islam, yeah. right?
Is it right if we say that we can follow any culture, like keeping the Islamic boundaries in our mind?
So it's a very good question. What you'll realize is that certain cultures, you'll be very far from them, or it'll be very difficult to adapt them,
uh-huh.
okay? If you try and implement what Islam says.
Yeah.
Take the Western culture, for uh-huh. example. It's very difficult to completely be a Western, have a culture that's completely Western, okay,
mm-hmm. yeah.
by abiding by Islamic values and principle,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, Western culture, for example, is about drinking
yeah.
alcohol, right?
Yeah.
You go to the pub every weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's about interacting with men and women in a very free way.
So over here, there's nothing like the Islamic boundaries. It's completely against the Islam.
It's very difficult to completely adopt the Western uh-huh. culture, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for example, you'd say the Arab culture or the Iranian culture or Western culture, for example, you would say they're closer to Islamic guidelines.
Uh-huh, true, yeah.
Right? I'm talking about the real culture. I mean,
yeah.
today's world, today, even the Iranian or the Arab culture is being mm-hmm. very much tempered mm-hmm. upon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much
yeah.
influenced by the Western culture. But if you go back to old cultures, these mm-hmm. cultures are closer to Islamic values and principle,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, at the end, if you look at the history of human cultures,
yeah.
right, you realize that certain cultures were very much close to religion,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? For example, the Arab culture,
yeah.
right? The Arab culture, because it's so religion for numerous centuries, right, mm-hmm. across thousand centuries,
mm-hmm.
right? This culture has been living with religion, with Islam, right? So the kind of the culture was very much influenced by the religion in a way that at the end, there's a lot of parallel and a lot of common points in it. Now, I'm not saying that the Arab culture is exactly the Islamic culture. Not at all.
Sorry to interrupt you. Thank you so much, Brother Mudad. Let's take a short break over here.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your audience, and we're talking with Brother Mehdad.
You see, take it this way, that Islam has guidelines and principles. Yeah. Okay, these guidelines and principles are much easier to adapt them in a culture like the old Arab culture or the old Iranian culture or the old Asian culture.
True.
And it's very hard, extremely hard to adapt it in a Western culture. The reason being is that the Western culture is a manifestation of an ideology that's very much against Islam.
Yeah, completely opposite of it.
Whilst the Iranian or Arab or old Asian culture, they're based on ideology that has a lot of similarities with the Islamic ideology.
True that, yeah.
Put it this way, right? So for example, let me give a quick example of family life, right? To adopt the guidelines that Islam says about family life, it's very easy to adopt it in an Asian culture.
True.
Because if you look at Asian, if you look at Pakistanis, Indians, Asians, the family relationship is very tight. Brothers and sisters are very close to one another. Parents and children are very close to one another. The respect they have for elders, for their grandparents, it's very easy. It's very normal. It's part of the culture, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good thing.
And when you want to bring Islamic values to it, you realize that it's very easy.
Yeah.
Right? But now you come to Western culture where parents turn 50 and you send them into a home, right? Children turn 18, they want to move out from the house straight
that's
away.
Really unfortunate.
Brothers go their own way, sisters go their own way.
Yeah.
Family relations is very, very weak. In that culture, you want to adopt Islamic values that are related to family life. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
You have to somehow cut yourself from the culture to be able to apply the Islamic values and principles.
Yeah.
So this is the point that you realize that certain cultures are far from Islamic values. Certain cultures are closer to Islamic values.
True.
Now, the point is that we're not saying that you have to change cultures. We're just saying that you adopt the Islamic culture. And you realize that when you adopt the Islamic values and principles, the culture story has to change. And this is why you realize that Muslims living in the West, their culture is very much different. And they can't really feel at home in the West. I mean, a lot of the youths, right? Yeah. When they want, and this is fundamental, when they want to live in the West, okay? They tell you, I become completely Western, and by that I'll have to abandon a lot of my Islamic values and principles. Or if I want to adopt values and principles of Islam, I'll be kind of counted as a outsider. Right? And this is where the whole discussion of integration comes in, right? Integration is what? It's saying that integration in the West means what? That abandon your values and principles, okay? And adopt the values and principles that we have in the West. And by doing so, you're bound to lose your religion. And this is why most new generations of youth, when they integrate within the Western culture and Western civilization, they have to sacrifice Islamic values and principles, and they lose their religion, or they at least very much weaken their Islamic values and principles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Brother Mudad. Let's take a short break over here.
يَا مُقْضِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ يَا مُقْضِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Raise your children to have three features. Love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back to your audience, and we're talking with Brother Mehdad. So Brother Mehdad, how about people living in the West? You know, they have dressing in terms of dressing and in terms of following any culture. So they be moderate, like keeping the Islamic principles in their mind.
Yeah. Before the break, we talked about being counted as outsiders in the Western culture if you want to adopt all the Islamic values and principles. Now, I'd like to mention a very important point over here, is that I'm not saying, and nor am I promoting by any means, that we should not integrate within the community, right? Or we should be going to ghettos and create our own society within a big society. Uh-huh. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that Muslims should be doing that at all in the West, right? I'm just explaining a natural reaction, natural phenomena that is happening in the West. Mm-hmm. And that's very natural for it to happen. And if you talk to any person who has awareness of these things, they'll tell you, yeah, it's a natural process. I can see it happening in the West.
Sure.
Right? What we need to understand is that we need to play a balance whereby at the same time that we're integrating, at the same time where that we are adopting a Western culture as much as we can, we are also trying to ensure that those things that we're adopting are not going against Islamic values and principles. Mm-hmm. And that we're teaching our children the same thing as well. By maintaining a balance between not taking ourselves as outsiders, but at the same time, abiding by values and principles that are Islamic. Now, the key is how to do this. This is very, very difficult for sure.
Mm. Right? It's all about managing.
But it's possible. It's not impossible. And definitely we can do it. I'm giving one very good and very strong solution is to strengthen the Muslim communities, Muslim centers, right? The stronger our centers become, right? And the interaction and the events and the different occasions that happen within the community center, this creates a source of culture, a source of knowledge, a source of guidance, a source of really bringing people together, okay? Sure. Even from different cultures, like promote these mosques to be a place where even converts, for example, people who from different cultures, so whether they're Arabs or they're British or they're Americans or they're Pakistanis or they're Yemenis or they're Ecuadorian or they're Vietnamese, for example, whatever whatever background they're from, they all come together and the common point becomes Islamic guidelines and principles, right? It becomes Islam.
That's right.
When that happens, then it kind of like removes people from their cultures and brings about this religion, basically, which is the key point. And this is one way to really strengthen this and realize that even in a Western society, even in a Western civilization, even in a Western culture, even though we are living in a Western culture, and we're very much abiding by all those Western things that Western cultures that people do. We speak like that. We eat like that. Our thinking and our behavior and our attitude a lot of times is Western in this sense. But we try as much as we can to increase our knowledge about Islam, our values and principles are Islamic, and kind of like adopt this basically as much as we can. And after that, you don't become scared of becoming outwards or counted as an outwarder or away from the society, because you're not away from the society. You still have this culture, but you've maintained your principles. And this is probably the most important key.
Thank you so much, Brother Mehdad. And thank you so much, dear audience, for staying with us. In this program, we discuss about the different cultures. We discuss about the Western culture, and also we discuss about the Arab and the Islamic culture. And also we discuss how people living in the West can abide to the Islamic principles. So once again, thank you so much, Brother Mehdad, and audience, thank you so much as well. Thank you for joining us on the program. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.